Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, need lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And remember, you know, the holidays are right here. You need to make sure you are fully stocked for the holidays. And not only that, think about Brewers Outlet gift cards. And the Pickle Bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, back to the ball picks. Todd is geared up, set to go. Oh, you love the pickles. I know you do.
I love that place.
Phenomenal. No, it's great. So we're going to pick up where we left off. You want to make sure that you tease the next segment. And I thought the guaranteed rate bowl tease was one of our best. Fans hung around and kept saying, oh, please tell us who's going to win Kansas UNLV.
I couldn't wait to hear who made it, though.
Yeah. And so there you go. Kansas UNLV, known to the suit as UNLV.
Before I realized Coach K was coming to Penn State, Kansas was really fun to watch, so I picked Kansas.
Yeah. Okay.
I also took Kansas.
The suit selected Kansas. I made it a clean sweep. We now transition to Wednesday, December 27th. We start at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in beautiful Annapolis, where the Military Bowl will take place. Virginia Tech, my old friend Brent Pry, against Tulane.
I went with Virginia Tech just because of your old friend Brent Pry.
You got that right. They played great down the stretch.
I took Tulane because of your old friend Pry.
I'll tell you right now, if you met Pry... Because Brent was here, what, 8 years? 8 years he was here, including the last, what, six as defensive coordinator. He's done and by the way, the suit picked Virginia Tech. He's done a great job of Virginia Tech because he took over nothing. And there's something. He settled on the right quarterback, which helped. I'm going to go with Virginia Tech.
A breakaway game.
All right, next up, at 5:30 in the afternoon, the Duke's Mayo Bowl in Charlotte, ironically sponsored by Duke's Mayo. Sweet, tangy, no, I'm just kidding. North Carolina, without Drake May, against West Virginia.
I went with North Carolina, but neither of these teams, I think, are great, so this one I think is pretty much a coin flip.
I took West Virginia because the quarterback is fun to watch if he's still playing. I don't know.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
He's playing.
West Virginia. Yeah.
The suit, typical front runner, took North Carolina. I'm going with West Virginia.
They gave Penn State a good fight.
No, they were good. No, they played well.
The court, like... Franklin said that quarterback is going to be tough on anyone. Well,
and he is. I mean, yeah. He really is. No. I think that I agree with him. They play good defense. Next up, let's see. We are up to the DirecTV Holiday Bowl, ironically sponsored by DirecTV. Oh, the teams. Oh, does anybody care? Louisville against USC.
I went with Louisville because something seems rotten out at USC this year.
Oh, just so cruel.
I took USC because Louisville keeps letting me down. Every time I pick them, they lose. So USC got no defense, but oh well.
The suit selected USC, but he thought that was South Carolina. I worry about him. And I'm going to go with USC as well. Caleb Williams, by the way, not playing in the game. The Tax
really?
Act. Yeah.
Why?
Caleb Williams, he's opted out. He's going to go to the NFL draft.
I hate that. All right, whatever. Can I change my pick?
Of course you can.
I want Louisville. I don't want them to win. Play the darn game. Okay, whatever. I got Louisville instead of USC.
There we go. Now for the Tax Act Texas Bowl in beautiful downtown Houston. Texas A&M against Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State, for the same reasons I didn't pick USC, something weird. Texas A&M needs to another couple months away from Jimbo yet.
There you go. I took Oklahoma State.
The suit, who picks on brand names, went with Texas A&M. I will go with Oklahoma State.
Didn't Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma?
They did. They clobbered them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now for the Wasabi Fenway Bowl at Fenway Park in Boston.
Oh, boy. That's a biggie.
SMU, coached by J.D. Martinez, will take on Boston College, coached by Mookie Betts. On December 28th at 11 a.m. Your selections, please.
That joke went over my head for a second. I had no idea that J.D. Martinez was the SMU coach. I was like, who's that? I picked SMU.
I also took SMU.
The suit took SMU. I, too, will go with SMU.
Boston College doesn't belong in a bowl game.
And they're the home team.
Yeah. That's why they're there.
Next up, we make
Red
the transition.
Sox doing a good job with trading and losing players.
Oh, so far so good. Oh, yeah. No, Dave O'Brien and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago. I said, Dave, what do you think? He says, geez, Steve. He says, I'll give you a read when they make a move. He said, yeah, I don't know. Okay. So we make the transition from Fenway Park to Yankee Stadium and the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. Rutgers against Miami.
I like Rutgers and their defense in this one.
I took Miami. Don't know why.
Well, I don't think any of us knows why we're picking any of these games. I will go, let's see, the suit chose Rutgers. I, too, will go with Rutgers.
Breakaway.
Next. Here we go. This is the one we've all been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, time now from Orlando, the Pop-Tarts Bowl. NC State, Kansas State.
Did you see the size of the Pop-Tart they get to eat if they win?
No. Tell us more.
Like they do the giant mayo thing for Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Yeah.
There's going to be a life-size Pop-Tart for the winner.
Oh, man. That's worth playing in the game.
Hey, if it's frosted, it might be.
See, to me, yeah, that's what the MVP should get.
Yeah.
That would be fun to eat a Pop-Tart that big.
Yeah.
I dream about that and wake up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, but then you have to find a toaster that big.
Yeah, but then put ice cream on it. How much whipped cream would you need to put on it? Oh, boy.
This is actually more intriguing than picking the game.
Yeah, how about it? I'm going with Kansas State.
I took North Carolina.
The suit selected NC State. I, too, will select North Carolina State. Next up. Let's see, where are we here? The Valero Alamo Bowl. Now, this is one where I really personally hope, because the Big Ten's expanding, they're going to have to expand the number of bowl games. I hope the Alamo Bowl gets back in. I love doing that game. That was a great city, stadium, the whole deal. Arizona against Oklahoma.
I'm going to go with Arizona.
Okay.
I think I took Oklahoma.
The suit took Oklahoma. I, too, will take Oklahoma. Now for the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. I've done that game before. Clemson against Kentucky.
I went with Kentucky.
Good pick. I took Clemson because I'd like Dabble.
Sue took Kentucky. I will take the Tigers of Clemson. Next up is the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. It's on CBS. Oregon State against the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame.
Pains me to say this, but the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, just because of Oregon State's upheaval.
I took Notre Dame.
The suit selected Notre Dame. By the way, Sam Hartman's not playing in the game.
That's their quarterback. Just so you know. Whatever.
Oh, jeez. Okay. We have to take a break. Can we finish the picks after 2:30? I guess Ross Tucker's ready now.
Yeah. I was going to text you that Kevin said that Ross is ready now. So.
Okay. So why don't we get Ross on now, and we'll take a break whenever, okay?
Okay, I'll get on that now.
Okay, we'll take a break. I'll give you a chance to do it here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. A phenomenal job on the Iowa-Nebraska game, watching that in Detroit, and then the Army-Navy radio thing. Really cool.
Thanks, Steve. I really appreciate you saying that. That obviously means a lot to me coming from you. I thought Iowa-Nebraska, I love that game. You know what's really cool about getting a chance, and I know you've experienced it for decades now, but for me, you know, I had never even been to the state of Nebraska. I had never been to an Iowa football game or a Nebraska football game, so really, really cool. I mean, those fan bases are diehard, and a lot of respect for both head coaches. And, you know, all I ever ask for is probably like you, Steve, is I just want a really close competitive game, and that was perfect.
Yeah, well, exactly. You get an interception, a chance to win, followed by another interception, and then a backup kicker. Other than that, went right to script.
So. I can't believe. I mean, I thank goodness the sideline reporter tipped us off that it was the backup kicker, because I don't look for stuff like that. Who puts their backup kicker in? Like, nobody does that.
Nobody.
I mean, that's
why
I said afterwards, I'm like, you can't even make this stuff up. Like, nobody does that.
And he had a good week. Okay, I'm glad he had a good week. He barely cleared the crossbar.
It's unbelievable. It's a great. I mean, that kid will remember that for the rest of his life. Incredible.
No question. What's it been like for you now on the network, getting some games in and so forth, and working the NFL on the television side of it?
just been so cool. Now, I'm the type of person that I love any game I do, right? Like, right. I love the sport. So I actually just landed in Cincinnati because I'll be doing the Vikings and Bengals tomorrow on Westwood One nationally. And, it's people are like, oh, it's two backup quarterbacks. I was a backup a lot of times in my career, right? So I know what it's like for these guys to get these opportunities and really the opportunity to kind of change their lives, right? I mean, if this Browning kid, Jake Browning for the Bengals, keeps playing this well, not only will he be a longtime backup in the league, which, by the way, is a great lifestyle if you get it, being a long-term NFL backup quarterback, but maybe even someone brings him in with a young guy next year and lets him start, the first half of the year and gives him the opportunity to play more. And then for Nick Mullins, he's like a lot of backups, right, where every time he gets a chance to start, he's basically trying to buy himself another start. And then if he has a few good starts in a row, he probably buys himself a couple more years in the league. Mm-hmm. Plus, I mean, Steve, they're both 7-6. They're both right there in the playoff mix. But, I mean, to do Ole Miss Alabama, Steve, to be at Bryant-Denny Stadium, 3:30 CBS on a Saturday, and to know, how many people are watching, it's really, really cool. Again, I had never met Nick Saban. I had never been to Alabama before. So I love doing games. I'm passionate about every game I do. And I guess the coolest part for me has been to experience new places and also to have new people experience sort of the passion and energy that I bring to the game. I really just don't know any different.
No, well, exactly right. What I love about the fact that you talk about going to Alabama, I've been fortunate to do both football and basketball there. And there is a passion to it, and it's great being in an atmosphere like that. But you just do the game. Hey, you don't play around. You just do the game. That's why I love listening to what you do.
Well, I appreciate that. Love listening to what you do as well. Although we got to match it up more for my drives. I mean, I didn't have a good year. I didn't have a good year this year in terms of listen. I swear, every time I was doing a noon game, you guys were doing a noon game. If I was doing a 3:30 game, you guys were doing a 3:30 game. Yeah. So did not get a chance to listen in or, quite frankly, even watch as much as I would have liked. And it's funny, too, because my college crew was Tom McCarthy and Jason McCourty.
Yeah.
So I should have done the Penn State-Indiana game for CBS that day. But, there was seven NFL games. So I had an NFL game, Cardinals-Ravens, that week instead. So I just missed doing Penn State games a couple times, which obviously that would be something really special if that ever happened.
Well, we'd look forward to having you. Believe me, you know that. And here's the other part. You talk about the Bengals game against the Vikings. I saw Browning play Penn State when he was at the Fiesta Bowl at Washington. Liked him. Liked him a lot. When you've watched some tape on him, what have you thought about how he has handled what Cincinnati wants to do? Because he does have a slightly different style, most people do, than Joe Burrow.
Yeah, honestly, he's kind of the ideal backup.
Yeah.
Super smart, really accurate, gives you enough mobility, hasn't really turned it over that much. He had an unfortunate pick six against the Colts. Which was not an accurate throw by him, but it was weird because the tight end kind of handed the ball to the linebacker.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Steve, he's completing 80% of his passes. And I know a lot of that has been screens. They might be the best screen team in the NFL right now, which I'm a big fan of as a former offensive lineman. Screens matter. Screens are important for a lot of different levels, for a lot of different reasons. And, 80% of his passes, people are like, oh, a lot of it's behind the line of scrimmage. I don't care. There's no defense. 80% of his passes. I mean, that's impressive to do that at this level. So, but he's got a big challenge tomorrow because Brian Flores, how about this stat, the defensive coordinator for the Vikings? Nobody has more three-man rush than Brian Flores.
Yep.
And nobody has more six or more man rush than Brian Flores. He's either bringing the house or dropping eight. There's not a lot of in-between. He's either going to heat your you-know-what up or he's going to drop eight, and I kind of like that. He gives you the extremes, so he either knows he's going to get pressure, or maybe you're thinking you're going to get pressure, and instead you get eight in coverage, which is really hard to find somebody, as you know.
Unless you're Auburn, and against Alabama. Yeah, okay. So, So you talk about screens. I want to get to that for a moment. Right? If I'm throwing a ball and a screen to Ja'Marr Chase, I'm not putting the ball into the most explosive hands and legs on the field. And to me, even if it goes for 5-6 yards, that's a running play. To me, there's so many positives out of it.
No question. You get your star player, your star receiver involved in the game. The downside is usually 2 or 3 yards, which, yeah. You know, think about that from like a stock perspective or anything, right? If your downside is still a marginal gain, then you're getting all the upside of everything else that could possibly happen on the play. He could break a tackle. You know, and that's the thing I think we don't talk about enough about receivers. Like, you look at Chase's lower body, he is just so strong and so powerful.
Yeah.
You know, there aren't that many receivers like A.J. Brown with the Eagles where if they played running back, you wouldn't think anything different, right? If A.J. Brown was number 34 playing running back at 6'1", 227, 228, you'd be like, okay, that's a pretty nicely built running back, you know, power back. But instead, he's a really gifted body control wide receiver. You know, Chase isn't quite that big. He's not quite what A.J. Brown is, but he's still very powerful in his lower half, and it helps tremendously. He runs through a lot of tackles.
Yeah, when you get a chance to a Jacksonville game, check out the lower body of Parker Washington. I mean, completely different build for a wide receiver, but he's powerfully built from the waist down.
Yeah, and he's gotten some opportunities the last couple weeks, yeah. And I'm glad it's working out for him. Although I did point out to my wife while we were watching the one game, Steve, man, if he had come back to Penn State, he would have had a really, really big year and would have gotten drafted higher. But I get it. You know, like, and you know me, Steve, like, I'll never blame a guy if they know they can make a team and get money and start to make it and they don't want to take the injury risk. I get it. Like, I totally get that now.
One final point, because I know I have to let you go here. And that's this. I mean, you understand what it takes to be in the league and to keep your career alive. How much respect do you have for the guys that may not be the star, but they somehow keep the career going?
Well, I mean, I have immense respect. I don't think people understand, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of new kids coming out of college every year.
Yeah.
You know, you have the whatever 300 guys that get drafted or whatever, and then you have the undrafted free agents and the tryout players, and they all make the rookie minimum, right? So if the team thinks that they're close to as good as you, they're going to go with them because they're cheaper, and the idea would also be that they probably, you know, might have some more upside and could improve, whereas when you're a guy like I was, you're really just at that point, you know, fending off these young guys every year while you're fending off injuries, because that's the thing, right? You can't help but get beat up. I had a back surgery in Buffalo. Then my career ended with the hernia disc in my neck in Washington. You know, so any guy, I always tell people, like, any guy that plays 10-plus years, that's incredibly impressive, but especially, Steve, those guys that O-line, D-line, linebackers that start pretty much every Sunday for 10-plus years, hard to explain to people unless you tried to do it, the mental and physical toughness it takes to be able to tee it up every single week. And good fortune, I might add.
Yeah. Well, you know what? In the end, you're taking all that knowledge and we're getting the beneficiary of it, whether it's a radio broadcast or whether it's a TV broadcast. And I know you're getting ready for the next one now. I appreciate the time that you gave us today. As always, it was great, Ross.
Yeah, Steve, honestly, my pleasure. I just landed, got in an Uber. I'm almost at the hotel. So I thought, what else would I rather be doing during the Uber drive? I was going to talk to Steve Jones and talk some football. I will say this, Steve, before I forget. We're like a week away from
the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to get into that. Yeah, let's get into
that.
Yeah,
no, I'm just telling you, like, yeah, it's a central Pennsylvania business. My buddy started it, and it's by far the best Christmas gift I've heard of. It's called myfrontpagestory.com, or by the way, like Valentine's or Mother's Day, but Christmas is on the horizon, and I know most of my buddies, they have no idea what to get their wives, like a gift card to Texas Roadhouse. Like, come on, man. It's not going to cut it. Go to myfrontpagestory.com. Here's the key. You're able to tell Steve, your wife or significant other, whoever, as they're opening it, hey, I want to do something special for you, hon, so I had a story written about you. Like, that just sounds amazing. That sounds like you've got Todd Hummel or some great writer to write this amazing story about your wife. And then to be able to, after that, as she opening it, make sure if you do it, seriously, everybody listening, if you do it, make sure you tell the writer, give him this quote, I just never thank her enough for all the little things she does for me. They cry every time, Steve. It's hilarious. It's like 85% happy tier hit rate. MyFrontPageStory.com. MyFrontPageStory.com.
And if any, you can do that, and guess what? There's a lot of things that you can open up. Okay, there's only so many pajama grams out there. This is one that will stick out beyond all the other ones because
And then, Steve,
personal.
It's hanging up. It's hanging up forever because it's framed, so it hangs up in the house forever. So, like, the next 3 or 4 years, you can just go with the Texas Roadhouse gift card and then say, well, remember a couple years ago when I got you that story written all about you? Like, you get several years of grace period if you go to myfrontpagestory.com.
Oh, there's even better than that. Say a problem crops up. Just point to the wall.
I love it.
Ross, thanks so much, and thanks to frontpage.com as well.
Absolutely. Keep up the great work, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You too, Ross. Thanks. The outstanding Ross Tucker joining us. All right, we are going to finish up with the picks. I swear to you, we're going to. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on WKOK.
Oh, okay. Hello. I'm here.
All right.
So after we all dramatically picked Notre Dame to win the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, we now will transition to the AutoZone Liberty Bowl in Memphis, 3:30, ESPN, known to our sales staff as ESPN, Memphis against Iowa State.
I'm going with Iowa State.
Now, do we still have Kevin?
We do not.
Oh, got to get him back.
I thought I was figuring he would call back. I didn't realize I had to call him.
Yeah, you may have to call him back.
All right.
No. I will hold the fort until you get him back. We need his selections. Okay, we cannot sit here and not have the wisdom of the king moving forward. Now, he may be working. And, yeah, the Chargers, by the way, did officially dismiss Coach Brandon Staley and General Manager Tom Telesco. Giff Smith, the outside linebackers coach, will be the interim head coach. JoJo Wooden, who's the Chargers' director of player personnel, will step into the GM role on an interim basis. It's only the second time that the Chargers have fired a coach midseason since 1970. The other one was Kevin Gilbride in 1998. 24-24 under Staley. One playoff berth that ended in a game where they led Jacksonville 27-0. And lost. Owner Dean Spano said in a statement, Chargers fans deserve more. These decisions are never easy, nor are they something I take lightly, especially when you consider the number of people they impact. We are clearly not where we expect to be. However, we need new vision. Doing nothing in the name of continuity was not a risk I was willing to take. Our fans have stood strong through so many ups and downs and close games. They deserve more. Frankly, they have earned more. I don't know where their Charger fans are. Chargers hired Staley because of his success as a defensive coordinator with the Rams in 2020. They had the best defense in the league when he was there. Never had that impact with the Chargers, despite having some star talent. As Todd pointed out earlier, Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, people like that. Derwin James. Staley's defensive frustrations came to a head in a 63-21 loss to the Raiders last night. Starting quarterback Aiden O'Connell at the helm, but no Josh Jacobs, and they still scored 63. Ethan Stick made his first start for the Chargers in place of Justin Herbert, who suffered a fracture to his right index finger on Sunday in the loss to the Broncos. He's done for the season. Stick, of course, out of North Dakota State. It's the second coach the Chargers have fired since drafting Justin Herbert. They fired their first coach, Anthony Lynn, whose son Danton Lynn is now the defensive coordinator for USC. Anthony Lynn was 33-31 from 17-20, including 7-9 his final season. So there you go. The Chargers are making their move. Former State College spike Tyler Glasnow finalizing a $135 million deal with the Dodgers. Once it's complete, it's a five-year, $135 million deal. It'll make official the trade of Glasnow and Manuel Margot from the Rays to the Dodgers. Ryan Pepiot, outfield prospect Johnny DeLuca, go to the Rays, contingent on Glasnow signing the extension. Geez, 5 years, $135 million. You're really worried he's going to sign it? I'm happy for Ty. As you know, Tyler Glasnow pitched for the State College Spikes to start his career. He's now 30 years old, and I'm thrilled to see him making this kind of money. He's a good guy. So, Todd, did we ever get him back?
No, the phone keeps ringing.
He's probably working. Well, we'll just have to get the rest of his picks here at some point. Now, you know, let me see. Yeah, he says he has to get back. He just texted me. He has to get back. See, can we do the rest of the picks next week? Yeah, we can do that.
All right, Kevin, I have him.
Oh, you got him now?
I got him.
Oh, you got him. Yo! Look at you.
I just pulled in the parking lot.
Yeah, perfect. Well, we get to
start.
There's
Homer.
There we go.
That's my millionaire friend.
Always helps to have a bunch of those.
Yeah.
All right.
Give me a honk.
The AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Memphis against Iowa State.
I went with Iowa State.
I also took Iowa State.
Let's see what Suteroni did here. I think Suteroni took Iowa State. I too will take Iowa State to complete it. Next up. All right. It is the first of the New Year's Six games. The Goodyear Cotton Bowl. Arlington. 8 o'clock, Friday night the 29th. Ohio State against Missouri.
I don't know why, but I went with Mizzou in this one.
Okay.
I think Ohio State will beat them to death. And I'm taking Ohio State because how on earth they want that coach's job? That guy's a great football coach.
Yeah.
So, Ohio State.
Sue took Missouri. I am going to go with Ohio State as well. Even though Brown's going to be a quarterback, I got that. Missouri's going to be more stable there, but still. The Peach Bowl, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. I wonder who's going to be going to that. Ole Miss and the Nittany Lions.
I picked the Nittany Lions.
I took Penn State, and I want some chicken.
And Sue took Penn State. Obviously, I'll take Penn State, and I'll make sure we ship some up to you.
You got to have an in.
Well, I think we do.
You're gonna, Jack's gonna go off his diet.
Actually, he'll sneak some stuff once in a while. He's all right.
You gotta say that's some good stuff though. I've never been there, but whatever.
The Trans Perfect Music City Bowl.
Jesus Christ.
Auburn against Maryland.
I went with Maryland.
Really? I took Auburn.
Sue took Auburn. I'm taking Maryland.
Really? Auburn took Alabama right down to the end.
Yeah, they also lost to New Mexico State, so I don't know what to think of them. The Capital One Orange Bowl, Georgia against Florida State.
Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia. Florida State got screwed, but Georgia will beat them handily.
Sue took Georgia, and I think by two touchdowns, Georgia will win.
Yeah.
The Arizona Bowl, ironically, in Arizona, where Toledo will take on Wyoming.
Wyoming.
Ooh. Cool. I also took Wyoming because I like the state.
So did I. I took Wyoming, too.
Everybody wants Craig Bohl to go out with a win.
Hey, Craig Bohl's a heck of a coach. Great job at North Dakota State. Terrific coach.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. Down in Tampa, the ReliaQuest Bowl. It's the old Outback Bowl. Wisconsin against LSU.
LSU.
LSU, Heisman Trophy.
Suit says LSU, I say LSU.
He is playing, right?
I think he is. I think Daniels is playing.
I was going to say, he hasn't said he isn't yet. Yeah. How's that?
Yeah. The Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. Nothing goes with citrus better than Cheez-Its.
I just had some.
Iowa against Tennessee.
Tennessee.
I also took Tennessee. Iowa just can't score. You know?
Sue
defense
took
is great, but you got to score some points. So.
Sue took Tennessee. I will not only take Tennessee, but they'll shut them out.
Yeah.
All right. The Verbo, that's how you pronounce it, Fiesta Bowl, Liberty against Oregon.
Oregon.
I think Oregon. I'm a member of Verbo. That's how we rent our summer home. They're a rental agency.
Yes, they are.
Oregon, yeah.
Sue took Liberty.
Well, they beat UConn.
Yeah. It's interesting, it's done computerized, but the Sagarin ratings, which, by the way, at Florida State, 12th, Penn State was 7th, has Liberty 55th, Oregon. And not only that, Oregon big, even though Bo Nix won't play.
He's not playing?
Yeah, he's not. You know what? Wait, hold on a second. I think Bo Nix is playing. Bo Nix is playing in the game. No, Bo Nix said he's going to play. So my apologies. All right.
And now the
semifinal games. The Rose Bowl. Alabama, Michigan.
Bama.
I took Michigan.
Sue took Alabama. And in my opinion, Michigan could have every play ahead of time and still lose to Alabama. There's a reason why Jimbo is 1-6 in bowl games.
Wow, I'm the only one taking Michigan. Wow. Yep.
And then the Sugar Bowl, Texas and Washington.
Nobody's believed in the Huskies all year, but they keep winning. I'm going Huskies.
I am also taking Washington.
Sue took Washington. I am taking Texas.
There you go. All right.
There you go.
How do you guys feel about Florida State being out?
not crazy about an undefeated team that's passed every test being out, but at the same time, if you were to, like, press me, did they get it right in terms of, at the moment, who are the four best teams? I actually think they got it right. Florida State is very good in a lot of areas, but with its backup quarterback, yeah, I think, I mean, in other words, we all, I think all of us picked Georgia to win, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does that tell you? I mean, they're a double-digit underdog in the game.
I mean, the Florida's defense is as good as there is in the country.
Really good.
Yeah, they're really good, and they can run the ball. I just don't think it's fair that this is what you're supposed to do, win every game, and you win every game, and then they say, well, because one guy's not playing, you're not, we can't, that's not right. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's the final year. It's not going to matter next year. You have 12 teams in, but, you know, for the fun, Alabama does not deserve to be there because they lost the game. And that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, at
that's
home.
You lost.
At home by double digits.
Yeah. I mean, and you can't say it was at the start of the year. Then why bother play the games at the start of the year?
And not only that, they were this close to losing to Auburn.
Yeah. It's like, who makes that decision? To me, you couldn't go wrong if you took Florida State. Because you could say, hey, they're a top five power, they're one of the powerhouse conference, and they went 13-0. What else you want? And they beat Georgia, who hasn't lost a game in 2 years. It's bizarre to me. So.
Well, Alabama beat Georgia.
Oh, Alabama beat them. That's right. But I'm just, who did Florida beat to win the ACC?
Louisville.
Okay. You know, I'm wrong about Georgia, but I just.
Let me put it this way. Liberty is a 17.5 point underdog to Oregon.
Yeah.
Florida State is a 14 point underdog to Georgia.
What if Florida beats Georgia?
Well, if I were them, and I'm not kidding when I say this, I would erect the national championship banner at my stadium.
Yeah. What if they beat that? That's the worst nightmare, is if Florida beats Georgia. Because they created their own problem. You can't let an undefeated team not get in.
Yeah.
You just can't. I don't care who their quarterback is. Ohio State won a national championship with a third-string quarterback. It just, I don't know. Where did Tom Brady come from? Where did Brock Purdy come from? You know, they thought, oh, these guys are no good. They end up being in the Hall of Fame. So people making decisions, they don't play in the game. That's not right. Not fair to the players.
Yeah. Well, and then there's the other part, too. You can't keep an SEC team out. Actually, you can.
Yeah, they lost. I mean, what do you want? They lost.
Yeah.
Like, and they struggled for the first half of the year. Now their quarterback situation settled in, but Auburn took them right to the end. It's like, why is Alabama this powerhouse that has to be in? That's crazy to me. So.
Yeah, and that's what ended up playing out. That's how it ended up playing out. So,
yep.
Alabama gets the shot, and to be honest with you, I think they will beat Michigan. But we'll find out. That'll be the fun part about sitting there on New Year's Day. I'll be back from Atlanta. I'll have my feet up, and I will be watching those two games back-to-back.
After you mail me chicken.
Well, I'll send you boxes.
Okay.
Boxes. Now, don't worry about it going bad and in transit.
I eat it and die.
But I got free chicken.
My boy, it was good.
Chicken. It was great. That might even have a pickle in it.
Oh. Okay, guys, I got to get in and see if I still got a business here. So,
go for it.
We'll see you. Have a safe trip down there. Nice meeting you, Paul.
Off to Madison Square Garden here in about 5 minutes from now.
Thank you, sir.
And I thought the suit's explanations on his picks was as smooth as we've ever had it in this segment.
It went perfectly.
It was seamless. I just felt like he wasn't in the way.
Like he wasn't even there.
Look at all the smiles on the faces of management. Look how happy they seem. I need to tell you guys. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Rogan Street and Subway, the Beverage Supermarket. Get those gift cards and stock up now.